Welcome to the Drunk to Who podcast. I'm John.
I'm Steve.
And Steve, we're having a podcast today.
Ooh.
So I've got a special song for it. Podcast, podcast, we're doing a podcast. It's the Drunk to Who podcast. Just came up with that. Can you believe it?
Yes, okay. I can.
Hey, Steve, what else happens on this podcast besides me having a little song and dance number?
So this is the podcast where we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, and we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking.
Okay, good. Let's continue the tradition.
Okay.
Tradition. That's what we're going to do. Again, like every now and then, I'm just going to burst into song.
That's fine.
That's my new thing.
Okay.
Okay. That's my new thing that I'm going to do. Okay, Steve. So, let's do another thing. How can people contact us? Doodah.
Long episode.
They usually are, Steve.
And maybe not even time-wise.
Well, you know what? I just think this one's going to need some filler. So I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. That's encouraging for what we're about to watch.
We salute you.
They can email drunktorwho@gmail.com or they can reach out on Twitter at drunktorwho or at srdolin. That's me. You can tweet at us, or I'm also on Instagram and Letterboxd. You can reach out wherever you want to.
Nice. Actually, I had to like create a user ID for Instagram because it's like, you know, somebody I follow on Twitter is like, I posted some pictures. I'm like, I kind of wanted to see them without the thing saying, it's like, you need to be on here before you can like look at the pictures. And it was like, yeah, okay, whatevs. And then like, and now I get like updates from Instagram saying it's like, SR Dolan has posted Instagram pictures. I'm like, ah, Jesus. Like, is this going to be one of those like dumb things where it's like every time somebody I follow or whatever like posts something, or somebody I know.
Probably. You know, you didn't follow me on Instagram though, did you?
Well, I didn't, but like it recognizes that.
It scans your context. Contact.
It's the answer. Oh, it's Jesus. The reason from 80s TV kids show. You remember 321 Contact, don't you?
Barely.
Oh, I loved that show. It had the Bloodhound Gang. Oh, yeah. Okay. Steve's holding up his shot. He's like, he wants us to get there quicker.
I just want the show to progress.
Oh, well, the odds of that happening. Hey, Steve, let's talk about the thing before we do the other thing. The thing we're going to talk about today is episode 135 of the Doctor Who podcast.
Okay.
And it's from series 9, episode 5 of Doctor Who.
Yes.
And it's called
Really kept me in suspense there. I was wondering what show we were doing.
Well, I know, right? You know, it's like, what? Did I change it? Is this the Buffy podcast? Like I've been praying for the last 5 years.
Oh, no, you're speaking Steve, as me. Oh, okay.
Your prayers have not been answered.
No.
Okay, Steve, we're going to talk about The Girl Who Died.
Oh, okay.
That's the name of the episode. The Girl Who Died. Could that girl be Clara?
You know what? I think I said last time, having never seen any of these, I think I said last time that it was Clara, but I am going to go with, this is going to be we're going to be introduced to a new character, and it's going to, but we're going to see her. It's going to be like the one where Lady Pompadour, what was that one?
Lady Pompadour. That was,
what's the episode?
Oh, that was.
That was with Rose and David Tennant.
You're right. Well, and like Mickey was also there too, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
And it anyway, was like, yeah, it was like the, yeah. But
that's when he rode a horse into the TARDIS, I think.
Lady Hare.
Yes. Anyway, so it's going to be like that. We're going to see like the doctor visit her a bunch of times over the course of her life, and then she's going to die.
What's her name?
At one point. I'm going to say her name is Pam.
Okay. What's Pam's last name, Steve?
Pamson.
Pam Pamson. So is Pam Pamson? Is she like, what country is she from? Is she a space alien?
Oh, you're right. She's going to be a space alien. That's what planned all along. She is on the moon of Titan. And she has been there for her whole life. She was born and raised there. And the year is, I don't know.
Is it the far future or the far past? Was Titan's moon, like, was it colonized like a jillion years ago, and they just go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Okay. I'm going to say that it is the year 3,973,836.
thousand.
And that's the year. And so, yeah, they're on the moon of Titan. And
so what baseball numbers do those apply
it's
to?
It's not. It's my phone number from when I was a child.
So someone jumps in like a time booth,
yeah,
and like, you know, goes back to like 1980. They can call you and like it's like goes back, try to warn
go back
you
and dial 397-3836 and just whatever Chicago area code you can think of back up until like 1990 something. Yeah. So they're on the moon of Titan. It's a colony. And I don't know, this girl, she's the key to something that we're going to find out in the second part of this two-parter, because they're all two-parters. So we won't find out what she's the key to. So that's why the doctor is with her up until she dies her whole life, because he's basically, you know, there's, I don't know, let's say an alien parasite in her brain that is going to be free, and he has to be there to like take care of it.
Set the alien baby free from her brain.
Yeah,
but oh, she's like crowning.
Very simple. Is that very sympathetic with her, but also it's kind of a cruel thing. And Clara's like, oh shit, I'm getting tired of this cruelty, but it's but masked in a benevolent way. So
if this thing's coming out of her head, it's gonna be like a birth scene from Star Trek II, where that giant worm slug comes out of like you know, Chekhov's ear.
Spoiler alert for a movie from 1981 or 82.
Like 40 years ago. Yeah.
No, I think it's I think it's gonna be more I don't know, more of a Scanners thing where the head just explodes.
Yeah, the doctors are great. Come on. Just push, and then all of a sudden her brain explodes. Oh, look at the size of this alien baby. All right. No, okay,
still so, master of the accents, aren't you?
Yeah.
Master of song and accents.
Ah, you sodden pizza. You're assuming this is a two-parter.
Yes.
So, okay. All right. I'm going to ask you now. Tell you at the end. But, okay. So, this is the girl who died.
Yeah.
So, what would the title of the next episode be, Steve? Possibly. If this is a two-parter, and say it leads into it. So, the girl who died, what would the next title be?
The slug beast who lived.
Okay.
No, I'm gonna honestly say that it's gonna be it's gonna be like a Harry Potter thing. The boy who lived, the girl who died, the boy who lived, or maybe it should be the girl who lived, or it could be the girl who ate cucumber sandwiches. I don't know.
So it's tea time.
Yes. I'm gonna say it's the girl who thrived.
Ooh, the girl who died and the girl who thrived.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel a song coming on.
Because the little slug beast that came out of her brain is a girl.
Oh, there's a song coming on. I'm going to skip it, though. Because you know what?
Christ.
You know what, Steve? You know what time it is now?
It's time for that we ingest some booze in order to deal with John's singing.
Booze. How do you like it? How do you like it? All right, Steve, this is the
room temperature.
Oh, yeah, really? After all this time, pretty much. So we're going to have the Drunk to Who toast of the episode, which has Steve's toast. Go ahead, Steve.
Things get messy when you make a deal with the devil.
Things do get messy when.
Was that tequila again?
Of course it was. Was that whiskey again?
Of course it was.
We are nothing if not totally. I forgot. What was the toast? Something about the devil. Dancing with the devil and the pale blue moon or something.
No, I used that one already.
I was going to say, that sounded kind of familiar. Okay.
Things get messy when you make a deal with the devil.
Where's that from, Steve?
That is from a mediocre horror movie called The Babysitter. But it has Samara Weaving in it. But Samara Weaving is from Ready or Not, which is an amazing horror movie. Maybe not amazing, but I really liked it.
Steven Spielberg film?
Yes, Ready or Not. And you should go see that and don't learn things about it before you see it. It's just a horror movie, and if you don't like to see some gross stuff, then don't see it, but I would definitely recommend it.
Are there aliens birthed out of her exploding head?
No, that's Be Safer, Doctor Who.
Okay, yeah.
By the way, I was reading a book recently, and I don't remember which one it was. It might have been one of the Wayward Pines books, or it might have been I read Stephen King's 11/22/63. But in it, they said allons-y.
Oh.
And in that book, they said it means let's go in French. And I'm like, that's all it means? It just means let's go? Like, I was so kind of outraged at the David Tennant era. I'm like, he's just saying let's fucking go? That's it.
All right. Well, hey, we've talked enough about the preliminaries. So we're going to watch The Girl Who Died. So you don't have to. Steve, what? Play us out. Well, we just finished watching an episode of Doctor Who, and yes. Steve just finished watching an episode of Doctor Who. By we, I mean the royal we.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't know. I wasn't included in the word we.
No. I just wanted to like let people know in case, you know, I was excluding yes. them.
Hey, was this one called The Girl Who Died or yes. The Girl Who Lived?
No, this is The Girl Who Died.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, have you been looking at things?
No, I was just... Why is that the name of the next title?
I'm just asking you, Steve, because before you were like, we were making a guess, just like, I don't know, the babe who survived or something.
No, here's the thing. I think I said the girl who thrived. I don't know, whatever. But the second Maisie Williams came on screen, I was like, oh, she's the girl who dies or lives. And then at the end, she does both. So I don't remember what the title was.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, because, yeah, we did discuss. And
she does like, both.
It's like, wait, Maisie Williams. Wait, they spent money on, like, a recognizable actor.
Or was this before?
Oh, no, this was well oh, no? into. Oh, no.
I'm, like, she's wearing the same. Neither of us have watched Game of Thrones.
But we're well aware of Game of Thrones.
But, yes, it is just everybody knows about it. But I'm like, she's wearing, like, Game of Thrones clothes. So...
Yeah.
And
also hair, she's Maisie Williams.
Yes.
You know, this was 2015, 16, 17. So again, well, like Game of Thrones started in 2011.
Oh, that's right. So what is she like 20 in this point or 18?
Maybe 18, 19. Yeah.
So she's tiny, like Clara.
Well, she's been, you know, Arya Clark for a while.
Oh, yeah. Stark?
Stark, yeah. Arya Stark for a while. Yeah. So yeah, she's been taming her dragons or like, you know, taming her little people
what I know about the show, like humping a relative and then murdering them.
Yeah. She's been doing that for a while. So Steve, what happened?
We come in the middle of a story and I'm like, oh, this would have been interesting to see the setup of this, but of course we don't see it. Clara is floating out in space and there's some sort of weird parasite in her spacesuit that is crawling towards her mouth that is going to like suck out her brain.
Have we seen that spacesuit before?
Yes. But have we seen Clara in it before?
I don't think so, but we've seen Tennant in it. We've seen Smith in it. We've seen Peter Capaldi in it. We've seen Danny Pink basically in it.
Have we seen Rose in it?
No, I think it predated. I think it was Martha. Anyway,
I was trying to think of the companion that had been in that.
Yeah, I don't think we saw Rose.
That was the Satan's Pit suit, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
we saw Waters and Mars and blah blah blah.
Oh anyway. Yeah. They've used that design a bunch.
That was
times.
So creepy.
So this episode starts and it's in like the middle of a story that I was actually like kind of interested in what happened before it, but whatever. Clara's out there in a spacesuit and there's like a little parasite that's crawling up her leg and over her back to like suck her brains out of her mouth.
And the doctor's kind of like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's like, yeah. I'm doing other things here.
Yeah. The doctor's like, okay, I don't know. Describe what you see and maybe I'll come find you because I'm like under fire. And so then the doctor, like, we see her about to die. And then I think, I don't remember when opening credit. No.
Well, okay. He's like, oh, well, do you see some sort of like butterfly,
nebula.
Nebula. And she goes, I do. And he's like, ah, okay. And then suddenly
he says, if only I remembered where that was, I remember it, but if only I remembered where it was. And then he pulls a lever and he picks her up. And then you see her from her perspective, like the helmet comes off and he like smashes the bug that you never see inside.
He squashes it with his like his little Doc Martens. Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm gonna go outside and scrape this shit off my boot in the grass. And I'm like, oh, they're on Earth. And so Clara goes out with him. She's still in the spacesuit.
It's something like, yeah, we'll never be captured and blah, blah, blah. We'll never surrender. And all of a sudden, what happens?
All of a sudden, Vikings come up. And the doctor's like, ha ha, you have never tasted or never experienced the technology of this. And he puts on the sunglasses and the Viking just like kicks him off and snaps him in half.
Oh, that, did you like just laugh out loud?
I enjoyed it, but I also kind of saw it coming.
Yeah, that was delicious. Where he's like, ah, snap.
Yeah. Oh. And he's like, oh, I guess we will go with you.
Yeah.
And then we get credits.
Yeah. And we got attack eyebrows and credits.
Yeah. And I don't remember who wrote this one.
Oh, it didn't matter.
But yeah, it was a name I did not recognize.
Yeah, no.
It was like,
I got Jamie, nothing on him.
She Jamie doesn't even... Highlander or something.
The Highlander. Okay.
I don't know. Jamie Highlander is what I remember.
I mean, it's not his only, he'll have done more Doctor Who in the future, which, you know, probably when I'll talk about him. But surprisingly, with this being leading into another part, he didn't write the second part.
Oh, weird.
I know, right?
So maybe it's not worse. I don't know.
I'm letting you
talk. That's a pattern of Doctor Who.
You talk, Steve. You're pretty. You talk. You talk pretty one day.
You know, this isn't a video podcast.
Well, they can't see my finger going, you talk pretty one day.
Yeah, like Red Rum.
So we come back from credits and they're walking. They're walking. Yeah.
And we find out they've walked and like rode for 2 days.
They were in a boat.
Yeah, they were in a long boat.
But we didn't see that because of budget.
And so, no, I assume so. And so then they're at, and then we see Maisie Williams and I'm like, okay, she's going to be the girl who dies or lives.
Because you recognized her.
Yes, and she is literally the only young woman who speaks besides Clara.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, and we find out that she had like a dream that everybody had died and felt so real.
She's kind of she's the village witch.
The storyteller.
In a good way, though.
Yes.
Not in a bad way, where they like celebrate her rather than want to burn her.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and then we find out that, I don't know, the doctor is basically like, hey, look, I'm going to charm these people. And he says, I am Odin. And they're like, fucker, you're not Odin. He's like, yes, I have this. And Clara's like, you're not going to use that yo-yo again. And he's like, uh-huh. It's in my pocket.
Yeah.
And so he basically says, I am Odin. Look at my yo-yo. And it's just a weird thing. And, because
but he's just used then, that. Yeah. He's used that in the past. And it, like people have been cowed by it. Yeah. Not so much these guys.
No, they're just like, dude, whatever. And so then all of a sudden, Odin appears in the sky like God in Monty Python, The Search for the Holy Grail.
Exactly. It was very Python-esque.
It really was.
It really was. And I think that was a deliberate homage.
I would hope so because, well...
They made it, I mean, because it made it ridiculous.
I can't imagine that them doing that and being like, no, this is what it should be. This looks awesome. Wait, what? You mean to tell me that it looks a little like Monty Python?
Yeah, no.
I can't see that being accidental.
Yeah, especially later on when, oh, let's watch the replay. Anywho, yeah. we'll get back to that later.
Yeah, so then Odin says, you will dine with me in Valhalla. I want all of your warriors and then or your best warriors. And so it beams some weird looking aliens down that I don't recognize. So we've never seen them before. Or I haven't seen them before.
We haven't.
So they haven't been in Old Who either?
Correct.
What were they called?
The Mire.
The Mire. Okay. And so then they like scan everybody and it's like, oh, we just want like the healthy young men, essentially. And for some reason, Clara runs over.
They wanted the warriors because like, remember like the chief comes out and he's kind of old too. They beamed the chief up.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah, they totally did.
Okay.
And he was kind of old.
Yeah, so
well, he was full of testosterone. He was ready to have some more. He was probably like really old at like 32.
Yeah. So they and they're scanning everybody, and for some reason, this is when Clara decides to run over to Maisie Williams' character, Ashilder. Yes, Ashilder. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bless you.
Yeah, I was about to.
I thought you were sneezing in Swedish.
I was about to make that joke. They bless you to Ashilder. So yeah, she runs over there.
Sorry. Let me do it the way your people understand. Bork, bork, bork.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Now I feel at home. I just need some whitefish and that's not seasoned. Anyway.
Anywho.
So she runs over to Maisie Williams' character, a shielder, and says like, hey, just grab the sonic sunglasses.
Right. It's like, just, you know, cause the doctor freed himself. She's like, use this to free me because They're looking for the smart people and the people who are a threat. I'm a threat. Make me like whatever.
Well, it's basically like, hey, let us show him that we're both smart and a threat. Like
help
it
me
was just the worst you. Timing.
Help like, me help yourself.
It was the worst timing.
Yeah.
And so those two get beamed up along with all the young warriors. And then we see them in a ship. Well, the doctor starts to panic, and then we see them in a ship, and one dude runs out in the middle of this passageway, and he's
everything's
like,
fine. Nothing's here.
And he gets zapped, and the only thing left.
Did he not see the first Resident Evil movie?
Probably not, since he's
yeah, because you know what I'm talking about, right?
Like the guy in a Resident Evil movie,
and it's like, you know, like lasers, and it's like, oh no, lasers cut me in half. And the guy's like, no, the lasers won't. And all of a sudden, the lasers turn into like, and it cubes him.
Yeah.
So basically,
it dices him.
All that left was his like horny helmet and a sword.
Yeah. And so then the wall starts moving. And then Clara's like, oh shit, try to like use your blades to like, you know, wedge it in there. And everybody's like, ah. And Clara just runs. And of course,
come with me.
Yeah. The electric, the killer beams don't come out. And so I don't know why she's taken a shoulder under her wing, but they run and basically everybody dies except for the two of them.
Because like, you know, the doctor even like kind of singled out a shoulder earlier. He's like, he got like a little deja vu offer.
He's like, it's deja vu is just something is remembering something in reverse. I think something like that. So
Maisie Williams, a recognizable actress. I wonder if we will recognize her again.
In a two-part episode of Doctor Who.
Oh no, maybe it'll be about like, you know, we'll see the baby who was like talking, mother, I'm scared.
Who the baby who is fucking like a poet.
Yeah. Oh, Peter Capaldi's so good though. When he's interpreting for the baby and everything, I'm like, oh, I was like bawling. Peter Capaldi is like so fucking good. I love him so much. He is such a great doctor.
So Ashildur and Clara are up on the ship, and Clara is doing my favorite thing, is where she is confronting the enemy and being like, no, you're a dumbass. You're intimidated by the technology, and you know you can't win this fight, so you don't want to fight. Like, basically, she's talking him down. Like,
right. Well, because, like, you know, you saw Claire was, like, unconscious. Suddenly, she's waking up, and Ashildur's like, wake up! And it's like, you know, or vice versa, whatever it was. It was like, you know, and suddenly it's like, why are we the only ones here? Because all I see is, like, the bones and whatever of the guys who were here before. And Claire's like, we're about to find out. And, like, meanwhile, back down on Earth, you know, the doctor's like, what happened here? And like, it's like, I lost someone. And the other guy's like, I lost someone too, my daughter. Then, you know, again, like, so then Clara doctorifies and she's kind of like, that's right. Because like they had like the tech, the glasses and and, you know, it's like, you recognize the superior technology to your own technology. We're here to protect. So GTFO.
So. Yeah. I'm trying to remember which other companions essentially pretended to be the doctor.
Clara.
Clara's done it a couple times, but I can't remember. I know that, like, Karen Gillan basically, like, stood up to aliens. Like, a lot of them stood up to aliens, but very few of them that were, like, basically took on the persona of the doctor.
Yeah.
And that's what Clara has done, like, twice, two or three times, like, so far.
Oh yeah,
and I kind of
Go ahead.
No, I kind of I liked it in this one. Like when she's just claiming to be the doctor and saying "prove me wrong," it wasn't as effective as her just like using her experiences from the doctor and saying like, you know what, I'm going to fuck with you because I've watched the doctor fuck with others.
Well, she didn't really say it's like I'm the doctor, but it's kind of like, you know what, I'm from a superior technology, superior racing you. It's like, you know what, they're protected, get out.
Yes.
And then like, you know,
and she almost convinces him.
Oh, then like his shoulder's kind of like, you know what, I'm gonna step into and help.
Yeah, but she doesn't.
I declare 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a Viking war. And so then, like, you know, the guy who's like pretending to be Odin when he like showed his true form,
and which they didn't show us.
We saw it later though, because
you saw it later, but they didn't show us at the time. Like we just saw like the side and back.
Oh yeah. His
true form.
I was getting a little bit of the, what was the people with the, like the box, the box horror movie with like, oh,
oh, Hellraiser.
I was getting a little Hellraiser because it was all teeth and shit.
Oh yeah, I could see that because there were a couple of different Cenobites.
Cenobites. He was. Yeah. I was getting a little Cenobite action off him.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
I kind of wanted something covered in a cream cheese frosting right at that point. Mm.
What?
So then, like, you know, so that Clara and like a Shilder get beamed back down to Earth so they can prepare for the war that's going to happen 24 hours from now.
Yeah, and the Darsh is like, what? Shit, we got 24 hours. That's all the time in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm faking it.
He's like, because, oh, I would hug you. I don't hug. Oh, I hug. Oh.
He totally hugged her.
He totally hugged. The doctor's changing.
Yes.
And we won't see that by the end of the episode at all.
No,
the doctor changed. No, whatever. Anywho.
A little.
So now it's like, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, you're all going to die in a day.
Yeah. But the doctor's like, we have 24 hours. And then to Clara, he's like, yeah, we're all fucked. And saying like to everybody in the village, like, or to the people he talks to, is like, you know what, how you survive this? You run, you stay away for a couple of weeks, and then you come back and everything's fine. And they're all like, no, we can't. And you as the audience are like, you should fucking run. Like,
yeah.
The doctor brings them through the motions of like training them how to fight with weapons, with swords, because he and Clara are the only ones, and they take a poll, are the only ones who have fought in battle with swords.
Hey, and you fisherman, remember... have you fought? Hey, you guy who like, you know, makes swords, have you fought? Yeah, no, didn't think so.
When has Clara fought with a sword in battle?
I don't know. Maybe we didn't see it, dude. Or oh, maybe that's true. She did. I don't know.
Maybe that was the whole point of the opening scene, is to emphasize the fact that there's shit going on that you haven't seen.
Oh God, there's been so much with her. You know, she may have. I just may not have thought of it.
Yeah, but I like, know. No, she's been a companion for quite some time, hasn't she?
She has. You know, for this doctor, no less. You wait, know, for this incarnation.
Is this our second season with Peter Capaldi?
Yes.
So yeah, she's been the companion for like this. Will if she makes it to the end, it'll be 2.5 seasons, which is, I think, longer than Amy. And
there was pre Danny Pink, current Danny Pink. Now we're post Danny Pink.
Yeah,
she's been the three different ages of Danny Pink.
Oh, that's true. Everything is measured in periods of Danny Pink.
So yeah, we have like the training montage, which did not have Danger Zone going with it. I thought it would,
or Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, that would have been freaking awesome, you know? But yeah, so the doctor, you know, it's like, he's like, you know, even Clara's like, yeah, you're just kind of like going through the motions because you're looking for a sort of like plan.
You're looking for your thing. She's like, you always find a thing. And a lot of times it's too late, but you always find it, the thing that will make you win. And he's like, oh shit, yeah. And in the meantime, he is translating baby.
Well, because there's a baby screaming in the background. He's like, what, can't you hear? And he's like, I'm scared. Mother. Yes. And then like, yeah, like, you know.
And Mother, Clara's turn like, your face towards me and I will sing for you. And he goes, you know what? Babies think singing is laughter.
Right, but like Clara's like, singing. He speaks baby.
Yeah.
But like what the baby was saying, you know, it was like rather a
fucking poetry.
God. And you know, I was waiting for like the little laugh line or something. There was no laugh line. It's like, Mother, I turned towards you and looked for your mammoth mammaries or something. I was waiting for that, but it didn't happen. He was like, you know, yes, I will sing for you. And it's like, oh my God. It was very emotional. You know,
I'm
an emotional weirdo anyway, but.
Well, I mean, it's COVID. Yeah. It's been over a year. Like all of us are on emotional highs and lows at the drop of a hat.
Like I need an excuse.
I know. And so like the baby is, it mentions fire in the water a couple times. And then we see later on.
Which we thought was probably like a metaphor. No.
I honestly.
Spoilers, not a metaphor.
My first thought was a sunset. Like a sun setting over the water.
A metaphor.
Yeah. Something like, well, you know, just like that's what a baby would see. The sun setting on the other side of the water would look like fucking fire on the water. So, that's what I thought. And so then we find out There's through more training that he, the doctor, gives them all nicknames, and because he doesn't care to learn their real names. So there's,
you're Susan, Lofty. You're Betty.
Well, he did. No, he called one of them Heidi.
Heidi.
Heidi faints.
Well, that's very Swedish.
And also has a beard, which is unlike the Heidi that lives in my house.
With ZZ Top.
Yeah, ZZ
Top. Forgot about that one. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And, I didn't think his beard was that long.
No, but he was bald with it. So maybe okay. And it was red. So maybe that
was. He was wearing a hat.
Yeah. So the doctor is training them all, and there's some wacky hijinks that are ensue.
Oh, remember they were like, yeah, I think we discussed it earlier, but it's like, why can't we have real, like, you know, weapons? Yeah. He's like, because of that. And it's like, okay, now you're
Limpy.
Ask Limpy. Okay, I was right. Now you're ready for real weapons. Slash cut. The village is on fire.
Yeah.
27 people are dead.
Heidi. Sorry,
unconscious.
Bearded Heidi and some other dude are passed out.
Lofty. Remember, Lofty got cut and had blood. And then, like, you know, the other one's kind of like, I fainted at the sight of blood.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So then we find out that, the doctor is all bluffing. He's like, I don't know what to do. And then Heidi, Clara will be, sorry, my wife is named Heidi. So
I thought you were talking about the guy on the show
who was
named Heidi.
I was just thinking of a woman's name. And so Clara is like, no, I know you'll think of the thing. And then we see Lofty running around with the baby that's crying at very strategic times and giving the doctor information at very strategic times. And so they're taking the baby to the water.
Where the fire fish, water is.
The fish, the fishery lightning or water. Whatever. And it turns out that there are eels in a bucket.
Yeah.
A giant bucket full of eels.
Electric eels.
Yes. And the doctor's like, holy shit, you didn't tell me we had electric eels. Now we're going to win.
Yeah.
And really? From what I understand, electric eels don't really generate that much electricity. It's more like, you know, static, like running along a carpeted floor and touching a balloon kind of thing.
Well, not to mention that they're native to South America. So how are the odds of electric eels being up in Sweden?
Well, they have eel in
around electric there, ones.
Not no, electric ones, no.
Ones that generate an electrical field.
Yeah,
not so much up in the Swedens.
So the doctor, he gets a plan to like three amigos this village.
Yes.
To save it. We've seen this type of thing before. And so then the next thing we see is the next morning where the mire. Thank you. I should keep thinking of quagmire and then forgetting it.
Let's just say Odin and his soldiers come. Remember, there's going to be 10 of them.
Yes, and they're going to fight
the village. 10 of us against the world.
Oh, there's the singing.
Sometimes it feels like 10 Meyer against the world.
What?
But not really the world. It's just the village. So Earth is safe.
Okay.
All right, Steve.
That's what the doctor says at one point. He's like, this is just one village. And if I screw things up, the ripples can cause problems with
everything else. So it's not a fixed point in time.
I guess. The show creates all these
exceptions
to rules and rules in order to, basically the first question is like, why did you go back and kill Hitler or save JFK or, you know, prevent New Coke?
Because the flying time demons that will eat all the changes will come
that appeared never, in one
ever, episode. Ever, ever again.
So it's the next morning and everybody's ready to fight. And Odin and his team kind of beam down.
Oh, but I love the moment where the doctor came to and the doctor's like, wait, you have eels? Oh, you have eels. Okay, now I've got a plan. All you need are the eels, a flashlight, 4 Q-tips, and a cheese Danish. It's like, what do you need cheese Danish for? Because it's delicious.
Yeah, the doctor is essentially, I think he says, Clara, I found my thing.
Yeah.
Or found the thing. Yeah.
Right.
So,
and the next morning, it's the next morning now.
Yeah, and they beam down, and they're like, well, where is everybody? And so they go to the
big old barn, like the big old Spears barn.
The grand hall, where everybody is, like, singing and dancing. And the guy's like, dude, what are you doing? I'm here to kill all of you.
Is this Midsummerfest or what?
Yeah. Is it Midsummer? No dude in a bear costume is running around.
I know. There's nobody fucking a dude in a bear costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like, you know, I was waiting for it. I'll be honest.
So they're like, the doctor's like, hey, we have no weapons here. You can see. And they're like, the guy's like, well, I'm just going to fucking kill you anyway. He's like, yeah, but that wouldn't be honorable. because there are no weapons here, like I said. And then he's like, hey, Lofty, do the thing, or Chuckles, or
yeah,
Nutball, or Animal, or
he smacks the tank of the electric eels, which then makes what happen?
Lightning travel down a string. The thing, it's very strange.
I remember there was like an electric magnet.
Well, that was the second thing. The first thing right. was that everything got electrified, and I don't fucking know.
It caused a distraction, which yeah. everyone went running for, and then it like made it happen again. It sucked the helmets off a couple of the Meyer, which the doctor needed one of the helmets so that he could like fuck with their perception filters, let's just say.
Yeah, because he put it on a shoulder, and she was a puppeteer and a storyteller. Right. And he put it on her, and so she starts imagining or projecting that the boat is actually a giant sea serpent or something. A giant
sea serpent is there to attack them all.
And the guy, Odin, fake Odin, Foden. How about Foden?
Foden, sure.
Was just there. Was like, this isn't real. But all
no,
this...
no. He was just kind of like, kill, kill, bad, bad. And then,
yeah, but like, he was all... like, this can't be real or can't something. Be.
And
yeah.
the uniforms are like, retreat, retreat, which they all left, and he left him there. Yeah. And then they like drop the facade, and it's just a boat.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to destroy you all. And they're like, yeah, but we got photos on my yeah. camera, which is my phone.
The doctor had someone, yeah, take video on a camera phone. Because earlier I was like, well, why is Clara showing a dude the camera phone? Because there's no reception, obviously. It's not like she can check Twitter.
Well, maybe the doctor did that thing where he can, like, you know, remember he, like, gives everyone, he gives all his companions, like, you know, unlimited coverage or something.
Oh, that's true.
Gives them 10,000 G, let's just say.
That makes
wouldn't
no
that
sense,
be nice?
But it just, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But then she got a little warning. Your iCloud is almost full.
Ugh.
And she's like, God damn it, I have to get rid of this picture of, like, a cake.
Why is Apple only giving out 5 gigs free for, like, 20 years or something now?
Seriously.
Like, why wouldn't you increase it by now? Oh, because
I'm a teacher.
We can charge money.
I can't afford this. God damn it.
Anyway.
Anywho.
So, yeah, basically the doctor says, you know what? We will humiliate you and post this video with the Benny Hill music, which is just yakety sax. It's not the Benny Hill theme.
No, but it was like, great. It's like, you know, we got footage. I'm going to make it better by putting the Benny Hill music out of. The doctor's like, yeah. And then later they show him and they like,
but that's called yakety sax. It's not called the Benny Hill theme.
But Steve, you're an American.
I'm going to be pedantic about this.
You're a pedantic American.
For some reason.
Like most Americans who were, say, like 45 or so, 45 to 50, would go, that's the Benny Hill theme. They wouldn't know it's Yakety Sax.
I am an American who's 45 to 50.
But you're also pedantic.
Oh, I'm a dick. That's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho.
I don't know. I think a lot of people would know it as Yakety Sax, but whatever.
Don't so talk back.
The doctor plays it, and watch me be wrong about this. That would be hilarious. The doctor plays it back for them, and then he says, you know what? We're going to upload this to, like, whatever the global universal thing version of the cloud
Let's just
is.
Call it global YouTube.
Yeah, universal YouTube.
The
U stands for universal.
Oh, that would be amazing. It would actually be a U. But it would be like some sort of like, you know, it would be, what's Arabesh or something?
Oh, yes, Arabesh, yes.
Yeah,
Star it's Wars Arabesh. Font. Yeah,
yeah, you know, because, you know, again, that shit's timeless.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm going to get a tattoo that says Weird Al Rules, but in Arabesh, because I want to be extra cool.
Oh, I would like you to get that, though. I would sincerely think that would be awesome, actually. Especially for you.
Uh-huh.
Oh. You know, wait.
Okay. I was tempted to get a t-shirt that said release the original trilogy in Arabesh.
I'm sorry. I have to put this out to our premium subscribers.
Oh, not a thing.
All right. Please press 2 for Steve to get this tattoo.
Do you think they're listening on a phone? Like
no,
an old
Steve,
cordless phone?
They're watching it. But again, I put it, you know, I use like CGI
what?
To make me one thinner to make you more beardier.
Okay.
Yeah, beardier and blondier.
Time will make me more beardy.
You know what? And it's just like I want our premium subscribers to like say Steve should have this tattoo. I think this tattoo would be awesome. Anywho.
Anyway.
So like he's like, I'm out of here. You know, don't besmirch my, you know, because it's like, hey, the Meyer, you guys are scary.
Don't besmirch the mire.
Don't besmirch the mire. The mire, you guys are scary, but you guys are pussies.
Yeah.
And then it's like that. Then they like leave with their like, you know, one eye between their tails or something. I don't know.
What?
And there was like 10 minutes left for the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you like, not like, what the fuck's going on? Or did you even notice?
No, I totally noticed.
That there, like, yeah. What's going on here?
This has gone by pretty quickly. Yeah. So then, of course, we want to celebrate with a shielder, but she's
Ock, dead. Ock, shock, shock. Come on, Viking Kings. Come yub on nub. And do the thing.
You're talking about Yub Nub.
No, Steve. This is a wholly original.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's totally original.
This is a wholly original song. It's like, Vikings, come on and celebrate. Celebrate a shoulders thing. Come on and do it now. Yubba dubba dubba dub.
Yeah. And then they like 16 hours long.
So they bring a shielder out, but a shielder has been a shield dead.
There you go.
Yeah, see, that's the comedy gold that people pay for so much.
Nobody pays for this nonsense.
Well, so yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. So, oh, you admit it.
Oh, what?
There, you admit there's no Patreon.
No, I didn't say a word.
Uh-huh. So,
continue,
yeah,
Steven.
They discover that a shielder is dead, and they put her on the table and mourn her. And
thank God they didn't burn her.
Yeah, the doctor's like, you know what, I shouldn't do this, but you know what, I will raise her from the dead. Tidal waves or ripples.
But didn't he have a look on his face, kind of like, to his like, this was going to happen?
Kind of, and that look on his face, whatever it was intended to mean, reminded me of the "I remember her from the future."
Yeah,
like the deja vu type thing, or whatever you wanted to say. Like,
well, then he did the whole.
I think it was a premonition, is a memory in reverse. I think that was it.
A premembery,
sure.
And,
so yeah,
and he did the thing. Yeah, where it's just kind of like, he's like, you know what? I remember why I took this face, and we had a couple of flashbacks where, like, you know, we saw him and like when he first got the face, and we saw him when he was like Peter Capaldi and like, you know, Pompeii, where he's like, that's right, I promised I would help people. Like, if I could save one person.
We saw Donna saying, just save one person from Pompeii. Just save fucking one family from this goddamn doomed village. And I was like, oh, Donna being emotionally broken. That was amazing.
Yeah, Donna's so good. That was like one of the early Donna episodes too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, that's right, I need to save. So I'm going to use technology and I will save a shielder. And because she wasn't looking too gross dead. You know, I assume she didn't shit her pants or anything.
I mean,
her fingertips turned black or anything.
I think everybody like shits themselves when they die, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So the doctor, he techno-whammies the thing that killed her, puts it on her head. It fixes her.
It's yeah. Like, a microchip, but a chip. It looks like it's like 2 inches by 2 inches. He puts it on her forehead and it's absorbed by her body. And he's like, this will fix her. This will always fix her. And I'm like, oh, she's immortal. Like, that was like, my first thought.
But also too, it's like, you know, not like, the Are You My Mummy kid from like World War II, where it's just kind of like, I've been fixed, but I'm going to kill people. Cause what I know of as have been killed.
No, he said it will keep on fixing her. And I'm like, she's immortal.
Oh, even he's kind of like, yeah, let's leave now.
He's like, I might have fucked this up. I might have like, made doctor, an immortal you. Human.
Thank you so much, doctor. Thank you for doing this for me. He's like, yeah, I'll see you later.
Gotta
what
go.
What do you mean?
Gotta go.
Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go right now.
And so, yeah, so then they go back to the TARDIS, and then we see a final shot, and the doctor basically tells Clara, is like, I might have fucked up, I shouldn't have done that, you know.
But there was a second dad. Little microchip that gave the dad, yeah, like, that he's she'll like, want this later, maybe?
She can use it on someone else, because she's going to be immortal, and she might want someone else to be immortal with her.
But not in this part.
No. So, and then we see Maisie Williams like standing on the shoreline, and the camera goes, and she's got a big smile on her face, and the camera like circles around her. And
you see like the sun going, and like, you know,
see the sun rise and fall.
The tide and all this sort of shit.
Like, time clearly passes, and then she looks sad at the next time.
Yeah. You see her. She's happy. She goes, I'm alive and I'm young. And then it comes back. It's like, I'm alive and I'm young.
And it's like 1,000 years later, I assume. And she hasn't changed her pants.
Wait, did it prevent her from needing to shit?
Well, I don't know. She just didn't change her clothes in that 1,000 years.
Oh, that's it. Well, you know, but it was like, you know, it's kind of like, you didn't see her. She's like, thank God I'm here. I'm here to help my people. And now she says, I don't know these people.
Yeah. Those people died a long time ago.
Where the doctor is kind of like, you know, she's going to live. And Claire's like, that's great. Yeah, she might live forever. Wait, so that's great, right? And he's like, yeah, you live to see everyone you know of die. And he was kind of like, even like, kind of like alluding to the fact that
that's happened to him.
What happens to me?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, like, you know, there was a, I'm not saying there's like a run through for this season or anything, but it's just kind of like one of these things is kind of like, you know, I don't like, remember, she met him after he like kind of gave up people. And wait, like, he's like,
wait, who's she and who's
Clara,
he?
Clara.
Okay.
When he was still Matt Smith. Remember, he like, he's like, he stopped traveling with Amy and Rory. And he was kind of like, you know, he's like, I don't need people. And it's like, you know, the Paternoster gang was like, this guy's just like sitting around, like not talking to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, he's like, he needs somebody. And then he found Clara. I'm sorry. Whatever her fucking name was, like back in the 19th century.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember either.
Yeah, it was like one of those things where
Oswald.
It's kind of like Oswald. Yeah, Oswald.
That was that was her future name.
Clara Oswald.
I don't remember her name as a governess.
Yeah, I it slipped my mind right now.
You know what? I miss the Paternoster gang. I would like to see them again.
Don't hold your breath.
I have bad lungs. I can't.
Right, you can't.
So yeah, it ends on a to be continued, even though it felt like it could have just ended.
Well, again, different writer. This episode is self-contained.
No, it says to be continued at the very end.
Yes. I'm going to contradict myself in the past.
It felt self-contained, but it totally said to be continued at the very end. So I'm like, okay, so we're going to see Maisie Williams again, but she's going to be like 1,000 years old, but still look like she's, what, 17 or 15 or whatever.
It's more like that. Yeah. You know, which again, you know, I don't really like to like spoil, but like we will see her again. Again, Maisie Williams, they spent some Maisie Williams money on this person.
Although maybe she was like, you know what, I kind of want to be in this show. Like, you never know who's a fan.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if she's a fan.
She's like, you know what, I'm already in one iconic genre show. I might as well be in another.
Dude, remember, it's the lottery. It's like a Shirley Jackson short story. You have to be in it at one point or another.
You're talking about British people.
Yes.
Okay.
Steve, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Maisie Williams is British.
Oh, okay.
Steve, well, I hope you're sitting. Are you sitting?
I am. I'm very lazy. I sit most of the time.
Okay. Well, then good. While you're sitting, Maisie Williams is British.
What?
Did you just shit your pants?
But her name sounds so German.
No, her name sounds so like Kentucky.
Yeah, kind of.
Her name is really Margaret, by the way.
Oh, whatever.
So, okay. You know, it's like when I alluded to earlier that I didn't have a whole lot to talk about this episode, it didn't mean I didn't like it. I just don't have a whole lot of trivia. What'd you think?
I assume you don't have a lot of trivia because it's a to be continued and you sometimes save the trivia for the second episode. I thought this was a fine episode. It was a little odd. I was a little annoyed that the Meyer, which is an alien that I hadn't had any experience with, I didn't get a good look at them. Towards the end, it was a lot of teeth. It was almost like Venom. The Tom Hardy movie, it's all a giant mouth with sharp pointy teeth.
I thought more Cenobite, which I thought you would go with because
Cenobite definitely. Yeah. There's some of those. The one with like the CD in its skull definitely aged well.
Would you prefer DVD, Blu-ray?
Well, I mean, it's the same type of disc, but whatever.
Okay.
It should have been like a reel-to-reel cassette.
An 8-track tape where it has to go ka-chunk ka-chunk, you know, it like pauses like every 15 minutes just to like change cassettes.
So I enjoyed this. I liked the idea of the doctor kind of fucking things up with all the good intentions, which we've
we've
seen, I think, a couple times.
But we don't necessarily see the outcome.
No, we don't. Like, we saw it. The main one I'm thinking of is when he rescues that woman, when he says, "I am Dr. Victorious" for the first time as David Tennant.
Yeah.
And he rescues that woman who ends up putting a fucking gun in her mouth.
Waters from Mars.
Yeah, Waters from Mars.
Where she was supposed to die.
But the doctor saved her, but then she put a gun in her mouth.
She's like, "I'm going to fuck up like future history if I live."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if there are other ones like that, like the, the doctor's daughter. I don't think he like changes. No, whatever.
No, anyway, I don't think so.
Anyway, it's definitely, it's going to be interesting because I assume that Maisie Williams' character is a Shielder is going to be in at least one episode more, and she might end up being the villain. So who knows? Maybe she's got a through line where she's in a couple of episodes as the villain. But I don't know what kind of power other than she heals herself Wolverine style or Deadpool style.
That'd be awesome if we see her get limbs chopped off. And she's like, "Yeah, you think that can kill me?"
Yeah, she's Please. Walking around on some baby legs and just creeping us out.
So you enjoyed it?
I think it was one of the better ones from the season.
Yeah.
Because at least it was instead of like flying down and being involved with like an isolated military or corporate entity, it was at least a village.
Yeah,
it was slightly different, you know.
Did it being in Sweden give you like an extra like one extra star?
Yeah, sure. That it like
I'm gonna beat that to death, you know.
What?
That like it's Swedish and it's like you're Swedish.
Oh yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, right. I was talking, I didn't hear the beginning of the sentence.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's like, I live in the Swedish American telephone company building. I live in Andersonville. Hey, yeah. Steve, do you appreciate the Swedes? Because I do.
Yes, because my grandma is the one who said she used to walk by your building on her way to elementary school. And when she remembers it as being the Swedish American phone company.
Steve, I mean no disrespect at all. How old is your grandma?
97.
She's still around, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be around a long time talking about Doctor Who.
Oh,
thank God
boy.
We have like a lot of seasons.
Oof.
And then we'll go back to the original. Like both of us can watch like new episodes for us.
Oof.
You know?
So, yeah, this one, it was interesting because it was a little different. Slightly different. I mean, I don't know. Doctor Who, it's definitely hit this pattern with me where he's helping a ragtag group against an invading force.
Battlestar Dr. Actica.
sure so I don't know, I did like it. I can see how a lot of people liked Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones. She was pretty like a compelling presence.
There's some good humor in it because I, you know,
yeah, oh yeah,
you know, I'm, you know, it's like, you know, it was funny. It's I didn't fall in love with Thor until Thor 3 Ragnarok.
Oh yeah,
where like, you know, it brought more humor into it. There's people who hate it because it brought more humor into it, but I'm like, you know what? This speaks to me. This spoke to me.
Yeah,
you know, not just because Thor is, you know, from like, you know, Swedish mythology or whatever. Or Norse mythology, you know, it's because it's like it brought humor to it. There was some good humor in this, you know. It's got, you know what I mean. So it's like, whatevs.
Oh no, I know, I understand. I understand. It's okay. It was entertaining. The humor was definitely of the Doctor Who ilk.
Yes, I enjoyed it just as much as I remember like watching it before. I'm like, this is good. I enjoy this. I want to see more.
Yeah.
All right. So, Steve, this was directed by, let me take my glasses off so I can see this easier. Edward Bazalgette.
Oh, that's a very British name.
I know. Edward Bazalgette, you know, because there's two T's and an E. He is a very prolific British television director.
Okay.
He's directed three episodes for Doctor Who. This is the first one. He does direct the next episode, the second episode. But, you know, again, the writer is different. What else? There'll be more. But, like, for Doctor Who related, Aferia, is that a thing? Aferia.
Ephemera,
thank you. He also directed two episodes of Class.
Okay.
Everything else was like British TV, which, you know, who the fuck gives a shit? It was probably like, you know, sticking it up my bum and I don't know, whatever it is. But you know what makes it most interesting of all? He played lead guitar for the Vapors. Now, that's a pop group that was like in Britain, and their hit was called Turning Japanese.
Oh, my God.
Guess what? Johnny gets to sing again. Turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so. And this is the song that where song people...
That song was huge.
That song was huge. So 40 years ago, this guy was a pop star. And like, so he was like in like, you know, Top of the Pops. Yeah. Like the song appeared in like 16 Candles and shit. You know, yeah. Like, you know, there was like stuff.
Awesome.
This, yeah, I know, isn't it? It's kind of cool, actually.
No, it's like, it's a relic from, I remember from my childhood, that song. So it's fun to see that someone from that band is doing something that I'm enjoying now.
Well, also, too, it's like, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? Hey, you were in like a band that had like a serious hit. What happened to you? I transitioned and became a different thing. I direct television now.
Yeah.
But also, too, he kind of came from, I think his dad was like some sort of like Duke or Duchess or something. And like, you know, so of course, you know, he came from money.
Okay.
Which meant he probably went to like, you know, Cambridge or something and like, you know, went to like basically the British version of USC where, you know, George Lucas met all of his buddies in room 113, which became a thing for like, you know,
1138.
Yeah. All that sort of stuff.
No, it is easier to pursue a career in the arts when you come from money.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Also, Maisie Williams was in this, Steve. I'm not sure if you're aware.
What? Star of the New Mutants?
Yeah, I know, right? She The only thing I wrote down is like she played Arya Stark in like Game of Thrones.
Arya, I thought.
Yeah, right. That's okay. It. Also, the guy who played Odin, his name is David Schofield. Okay. He's a like a big old character actor in Britain.
That sounds familiar.
It won't really make a difference. But like this guy is like, you know, he's been a character actor for like some 40 plus years. The thing which if you like saw, you wouldn't know, but like once you like remember, once you know who he is, he played Dart Player in American Werewolf in London.
What?
If you look him up and you see his picture from that time or without all the makeup on him, you'll go, oh, that guy.
I really want to rewatch American Werewolf in London because I've only seen it the one time and it was with you after several beers.
I was going to say, like, I remember watching it with you. Like, yeah, but that's probably the fourth or fifth time I watched it. Yeah. And I'm sure I've watched it since then. Yeah. So the only other shit that I like have to talk about, we already discussed. I wrote down notes. Eels, electric eels are South American. I wrote down Odin. He looked like God from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And then I also wrote down Yakety Sax! !
Okay. So yeah, we already talked about all that shit.
We did. Yeah. Now, Steve, why don't we talk about the unsung crew member of the episode?
Let's do that.
Let's make it. Steve, today we're going to discuss the unsung crew member of the episode. I have to do it in the accent that you accept. Otherwise, you'll just like edit it out. I know.
Oh, yeah. That's because it's all on me. Blame me.
Oh, Steve. Oh, so much good stuff that you just like take out because it doesn't involve you.
Oh, American Werewolf in London is streaming on both Amazon Prime and Shudder.
Sweet. So back to our unsung crew member of the episode, Steve. I chose Cher Murphy. You know why? Because her name is Cher.
Yeah.
And you know, Cher Murphy, for this episode, she was a fabricator and she worked for Millennium FX. Okay. They do the special effects for Doctor Who at that time. And you know what, Steve, you know what her other credits are?
No.
Right. You wouldn't, because this is the only credit she shows on IMDb.
Okay.
Whatsoever. At all.
All right.
Cher Murphy, we salute you. However, I'm going to talk about Millennium FX.
Okay.
This is a way, you know, it's like, Cher Murphy, we salute you. But you know what? Millennium FX, they've done, they were doing like a lot of the special effects for Doctor Who, not necessarily special effects like digital or anything. They did a lot of the builds, and like, you know, so like physical stuff, and mostly like character stuff. So I pulled things that we may have seen before, not like stuff that will be in the future, because they still work for Doctor Who. They recently they did the Dream Crabs for the Christmas episode.
The facehuggers.
Exactly. They did Handles. Remember Handles? The Doctor's companion from the upper,
the Cyberman head.
Yeah, yeah. They did Handles. They also done Cyberman. They did the wooden Cyberman also for that episode. They've done Cybermans basically since like season two or series two. They did the face of Bo. The giant face of Bo. And again, more recently, they did the mummy from the Mummy on the Orient Express. They did the teller from that heist one.
I don't remember.
That was the one with like the eye stalks. Remember, like, you know, it was like where the Doctor was like a part of like a heist.
I remember the episode. I don't remember the teller specifically.
Okay. They've done Davros. They've done the Jadoon. Remember the rhinoceros?
Who hasn't done the Jadoon?
I'm not telling.
Okay.
Though I'm still sore. They did the Fisher King.
Yes.
That was like from our last episode.
I really liked the physicality of the Fisher King character.
Yeah, you know, that was like very distinct and very like, oh, that's creepy. And like it really, you know, gives you like a sense of menace.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, so that was very good. Now, they, you know, like they don't just do like, you know, creatures. They do a lot of like old age stuff.
Okay.
You know, again, like they've mostly like been for like TV stuff or Doctor Who. There's some like movies too, but like it's very local. They did old age makeup for, I don't know if you've heard of this man, David Tennant.
Maybe.
They've done old age makeup for Matt Smith.
Okay. All of this in Doctor Who, or
yeah. So David Tennant's like when he was like Dobby Doctor, but he wasn't Dobby Doctor at that time.
That's where it was. Ugh.
Matt Smith when he was protecting a town called Christmas. No, maybe.
His finale essentially.
Karen Gillan, maybe when she appeared twice in an episode. Remember, she was the girl who lived. Maybe Arthur Darvill, you know, who was Rory.
Yes.
Who was an old age person in like the Daleks Take Manhattan.
Yeah, that's true. They do. Yeah. They do put them in old age makeup a bunch on the show.
Yeah, maybe Mark Gatiss. Do you remember which episode Mark Gatiss appeared old in? You remember who Mark Gatiss is, right?
No, he was the spider guy. He's Mycroft Holmes.
Yeah, he's Mycroft. There was that one episode where he was like an old professor who made himself young. This is when Martha was still the companion. You're right. He turned into spider guy.
I don't remember this. This was a long time ago, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was Mark Gatiss. So Millennium FX, we salute you.
Cool.
I'm going to have a little drink. Hey, Steve, you know what? I don't think anybody's contacted us recently, have they? Are we all alone in this universe? Are we alone in this here universe of that we call Chicago?
Yes.
Oh, that's so sad.
But Tim emailed us.
Tim! Like
2 weeks ago, I think.
I'm going to sing. Comma correspondent Tim.
Of course.
He wrote into our little podcast. Yes. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Are you sure?
Well, maybe I'll stop you at a certain point. I don't know.
Okay.
You were afraid I was going to sing all the time.
Not afraid. Maybe a little.
You knew
afraid.
I was going to sing all the time.
Maybe a little afraid.
You know what? You know, when you have a voice like an angel, you do not hold it out for just the devils.
Yeah. So Tim shared something that's very visual. So I'm going to share it with you over Zoom. It's the subject is Doctor Who merch.
Mm.
And so he sent us essentially, he searched Etsy for Doctor Who Patreon collection.
Okay. I see some sand shoes with jeans and he overlaid Doctor Who stuff on everything.
Yes. So he made Doctor Who. The classic logo, the iTunes podcast logo. The Lego Doctor Who playset. And then the host's Dalek/Cyberman. So he slapped my face My head on a Cyberman or on a Dalek.
No, I did that.
On a oh, that's right. You did that.
I did that.
Your head on a Cyberman and
the Lego DW playset. That's the one he came up with.
Yeah, I think that's the one with head has Denise and Heidi in it too.
Yes. So make sure you you know, you download that in our, you know, DMs or whatever.
I think so. It's very tiny on here.
We can give a little screenshot of this. I like how is that really Etsy.com search?
Well, I mean,
he made it up.
I mean, like, come on.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay.
We don't sell, John, we don't sell anything, despite that your insistence every time.
No, we don't sell them, Steve. We include them as premiums for our premium.
And Tim just encourages you every time to go with this Patreon nonsense. And if
there's
a Patreon, I want my cut. That's all.
Oh,
so Tim writes, found this on your Etsy page. Not sure why the quote unquote John and Steve t-shirt has the fewest purchases.
Oh,
Tim. See, damn. You can see that like all of it, like the Lego one and the classic logo, those have over 2,000 purchases. The iTunes podcast logo has like 230.
Right.
And our faces have 17 purchases.
Well, I think the iTunes podcast logo doesn't have purchases because it has like weird, like, you know, thumbs in it that are like, you know, taken off like someone's hand.
John, those are shoes.
Oh, I thought they were thumbs.
Those are sandals. Those are women's sandals.
Wait, those are sandals made to look like thumbs?
I mean, they're toeless shoes. So
those are creepy. They look like thumbs.
Anyway,
no wonder I should like really change that.
Our faces, oddly enough, are the worst sellers.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, but you notice the one that Tim came up with is the best seller.
It is.
The drunk dude with like our characters as Lego people is the best seller. Huh. I wonder what Tim's telling us. Hello, Tim. Yeah. Are you saying that you have like brought us the most merch credit? If you're looking for like a kickback, ain't gonna happen, comic correspondent Tim.
Yeah,
he put
the most effort into this, so his set obviously deserves to sell the most on this pretend thing. So, Tim, thank you very much for your contributions. We really appreciate
Tim.
It.
You know what? I'm gonna sing a little song. Thank you, Tim, for writing in. Anyone else who wants to write in, we appreciate it. I give you a little song.
But you've already given Tim a song.
I've given Tim many songs. You know,
that's true.
Because Tim's written in many times.
That's true.
If other people want to write in for an original song by John, I'm going to set up my GoFundMe page. So GoFundMe.
John, go fund yourself.
I don't know. I'm just like pulling shit out of the internets now.
Yeah. All right. Let's be done.
Oh, no. We're not done yet, Steve. You know why?
Fuck.
Why? Yes. You just remembered, didn't you?
Yeah.
We need to talk about the next episode, Steve.
The girl who thrived.
Of which you already guessed of The Girl Who Thrived. You know what, Steve? You are so way off base. You know why? Yeah. Because the next episode is called The Woman Who Lived.
Ooh. Okay.
Dumbass. Why could you come with that? Honestly, I thought you were going to come up with it. You actually said The Girl Who Lived at first.
But then I remembered that wasn't that a title of a Matt Smith episode?
Right. The Girl
with
Who
Amy
Lived was the woman.
Rory?
Right. Exactly. With Amy. Yeah. But like, no, still it was kind of like, you know, I thought you'd come up with like, The Girl Who Died, The Woman Who Lived. Had you done it, you'd have gotten such props. You know what? What is The Woman Who Lived about? Could that woman be Clara? And we won't see a Shilder again?
No, it's a Shilder. And she has been alive for like 1,000 years.
Sweet.
And she's pissed off. She's bitter. She's the new enemy. She's going to be like a Richard E. Grant situation where the doctor interacted with this person as a child. And then as an adult, they turned into an evil person. So I'm going to assume...
So she'll be an evil Snow Woman.
Well, no, it's just a different type of villain. So the doctor realizes that, oh no, my sonic screwdriver doesn't work and the TARDIS is trapped in this stasis or whatever and I can't use it. And so I'm wandering around trying to figure things out. And it's basically like a Shilder has used these sonic sunglasses that she's kept all these centuries and reverse engineered it as a tractor beam trap. And
that'd be amazing.
To trap the doctor and her plan is to kill him, but then Clara basically talks her out of it. Oh. And Clara basically says, "No, woman, we can kill you." Because I assume like the little chip is like repairing her, but if she like died in a fire,
oh like, Jesus,
it wouldn't be able to work that fast. So if they like shot her into the sun, it would actually like kill her.
Because the doctor did say like for most things she will live forever unless something catastrophic happens.
Yeah, and it's like, oh no, her weakness is fire. It's like, well, that's my weakness too, so that's not a big deal.
What if her weakness is like an atomic blast? And it's like 1947 in Arizona.
Yeah. Do you think she could drown if there's a little microchip inside her body that is constantly repairing her? Could she drown?
You mean like if she drowned, would she just keep waking up and like re-drown and keep waking up and re-drown?
Well, no, I assume that.
No, I'm just asking. I'm asking.
That's
you
what I'm asking is like, what would happen if she drowned? Would this thing like fix her? Because it would need oxygen for her to live.
Well, there's oxygen in like water.
That's true. You know, maybe it would make gills.
Maybe. Well, you ever watched that
Creature from the Black Lagoon? Yes, I have, John.
That's right. She is the creature from the Black Lagoon. Okay. If you shaved off those scales, it's a shoulder.
But it's called Gill Man, and it's quite tall.
No, it's called a Shoulder Man.
Okay.
You sexist piece of shit.
And no, it's wearing heels.
Right. No. So let's see if that happens on the next episode of Drunkter Who, when we discuss the woman who lived through 1999. Don't you want to go?
So what, Doctor Who, when does a girl become a woman?
Girl.
No, I don't want to know.
You'll be a woman soon. I'm doing that like, it's.
Yeah, I know.
I thought you were like leading me on to like sing anyway.
I really wasn't. I was just wondering because it goes from girl to woman, but the one about Amy was the girl who lived.
She was the girl who lived.
I assume this one was just called The Woman Who Lived because we needed a new title.
You know what? I didn't look it up, but I can't remember. Which was the one with lady hair, Madame Pompadour?
I don't know.
Was that the woman who, like, you know, went to France or something? Or the lady who screwed one of the Louis in a mirror?
The girl in the fireplace.
That's it.
Can it be next time?
Yeah.
Can we be done until next time?
We can. But all until right, cool. Then, please make sure to rate, subscribe, review.
Rate, review, subscribe, or follow, or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while since we've had one of those.
Yeah, please make sure you whatever the fuck.
Yeah, whatever the fuck you're using, whether it's like, you know, iTunes or Amazon or Amazon.
Podcast Addict. A bunch of you are listening to us on Podcast Addict, and I really appreciate it.
That's a thing?
Yes.
Is that like international?
I assume so.
So off Wiedersehen and Junkuya to our European listeners and Mille Grazie. That's in Italian.
Sayonara, motherfucker.
That's not Italian.
And we're done.
You're still recording.
I know.
Because you don't know if there's going to be any more little golden gems or something. Or...
I'm just waiting for you to stop.
Oh, you know what, Steve? I can't stop. You know, as much as I thought that was going to be a bullshit episode, I had a lot of fun. I'm good. Sorry. You know, maybe you like thought it was going to be like stupid and maybe like I was being tedious, but like no, I had a lot of fun in that episode because I think I had little, you know, again, I remember liking the episode.
So you had low expectations.
I had low expectations and it's just kind of like, fuck it. I'm just going to like do whatever the fuck I want. Thank you for encouraging me.
This is a long way to say goodbye.
All right. All right. Bye. 'Oh, see, this is how we classically start. You were about to have a beer.
Well, I mean, I'm about to take a sip of a beer.
I assume that's why you're doing it.
Just go, John.
You know, I'm trying, but you keep interrupting me. You son of a bitch.